Microsoft launches a new cybersecurity strategy. Will business consulting unlock your MSP's growth potential in 2024? And Microsoft teaches AI how to make mistakes so it can learn. All this and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the November 7th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I am Matthew Francis Fox, and I am accompanied by my amazing co-host, Tony Francisco. Tony, how are you doing this morning? What's going on?
I am doing great. So everybody that's watching this right now is at ConnectWise IT Nation up in Orlando, Florida. I may or may not be swinging by to say hello. I don't know. I'm technically not allowed to be there because of transactions that are happening on my end. I'm allowed to be there, but by the transactions that are happening on my side, I got to be hush hush, which is kind of a dichotomy for me since I'm literally on a podcast all the time and talking to all these people, but they're like, shh, he can't be out in public. So if I'm out in public and I see you, we're going to do a shot, have a drink, have a laugh, and then poof, like vapor, I'm gone.
Ninja smoke. And that's it.
Exactly. Ooh, I'm going to start doing that. Just ninja smoke. And they're going to go, what? I go, shh, got to go. Go right. So what about you, man? Talk to me. What's happening, Matt?
I had a nice weekend, got a big week of new production work ahead of us. It's just, how do I put this? We ended last week's episode kind of off the rails a little bit. We talked about a nonprofit that I got my start at, which is an awesome organization. We talked about 3D printing. And for some reason, both topics just kind of continued for the past several days. So I've got all sorts of things that have been printed up over the weekend. I've been having great conversations with, a trebuchet? Come on. Anyway, had some great conversation and catch up with some folks at that nonprofit. And again, the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship is a great place where I got my start in IT management and everything.
What was it called?
The Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship.
The Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. Maybe there's something like right there that says it's the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship right there, right above.
With the technology there, Tony, that's beautiful. Speaking of technology, you know, one of the coolest things about working there were all the great IT vendors that were donors, you know, and supporters. The biggest of was Microsoft. And that's why I became an MCSC and done a lot of really cool stuff over the years. And I got to tell you, Microsoft is always up to something good. And we're going to just jump right into the news right now because we got a great story from them first. And in my first story, Microsoft launches a new cybersecurity strategy via tech.co. Microsoft has launched a new cybersecurity strategy, the Secure Future Initiative, in response to high-profile cyber attacks targeting its security and cloud infrastructure. The initiative focuses on using artificial intelligence, including Microsoft Secure Copilot, to enhance security against sophisticated state-backed actors. This move is driven by the growing need to combat increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks. The Secure Future Initiative is built on three core pillars: AI-based cyber defense, advancing software engineering, and advocating for international cybersecurity norms. Microsoft's vision includes utilizing AI to improve system security, expedite vulnerability patching, and provide support to security analysts. Furthermore, Microsoft recognizes the necessity for its AI code of ethics to evolve in tandem with the rapid development of AI technology, ensuring a cohesive approach to addressing cyber attacks. Wow. Now, to me, Tony, that was a lot of words to say that security is something that has to consistently change with the threat landscape, and that's exactly what Microsoft is doing. Am I wrong in that assumption?
I just love that it's called the Secure Future Initiative. I'm going to open up a Secure Future Initiative, but we're going to do it for banking, and then I'm going to open up another Secure Future Initiative for
baked goods,
for locks on the houses, and I'm literally anything. And so I don't know if this is exactly what you said, and I mean exactly what you said, abbreviated. Mm-hmm. This just sounds like a lot of words. And is it just a lot of words? So the question is, what are the operational underpinnings? What are those standard operating procedures for this? What is the, accountability? Are they playing tennis without a net? Or, you know, what are the ramifications of not adhering to it? What does that framework look like? Is there a version number of the framework? And what does the evolutionary process look like? Is there a timeline associated? Who's on that evolutionary board? They literally even said that the AI code of ethics that they're adhering to. What AI code of ethics? Like what? I'm reading it and I'm like, what is happening here?
Let me see if I can paraphrase what you're saying, because I think that this is how I feel as you've been saying that. Microsoft, we appreciate what you're doing, but until you give us more information, you're doing nothing but posturing. Oh, I should have played that one.
My Matt GPT just formulated what I said in a very summary.
You asked concise, me to keep it factual, and I did.
Yes, that was beautiful. Yes, I have mixed emotions about this, because to say that they're not doing something good is that's a stretch, but to say that they are doing something good, how? And if you can't explain it, you don't understand it. And I cannot explain this. So I'm struggling. What am I missing?
Let's keep it real. I own a treadmill. Doesn't mean I own it. I mean, it doesn't mean I use it. I went ahead and I went to a sporting goods store. I did my research. I looked at what I wanted. I wanted the one, you know, you could fold up so it's not taking up too much space, but it's got the decent motor, so it's got some power, so you could really use it. And that's great. I spent a whole lot of time talking and doing research, but I've probably run 6 miles on the thing since 2014. And I feel like there's a little bit of that going on here, where it's like, I want to see some demonstration of these efforts, and I want to see something about maybe not immediate outcomes, but even expected outcomes in something more than we heard in this article, or more than we read in this article. And until then, eh.
I think we're on the same page. I want to know where this goes. I want to know about that AI ethics framework committee, what the ramifications are of not following those particular guidelines. Can others follow those guidelines? Because if they, you know, made a formulaic approach to this, then others should be able to replicate it in some capacity, or plagiarize with pride this particular framework they work so hard on. But I'm not seeing enough from the article. But
not yet. But there's more to talk about, and I think it's time that we get into a story that really gets the heart of what MSPs are trying to do. What do you think?
Ooh, I have a story about MSPs. Let's do it. Perfect lead-in, Matt, from my first story from MSPAlert.com. MSPs see business consulting as a top growth priority. Managed service providers, those are MSPs, if you're not familiar with it, meaning the audience that's listening to us right now are the MSPs, are getting ready for growth by focusing on business consulting and expanding their tech services, according to a TD SYNNEX report. The report, which includes feedback from 227 self-identified MSPs, highlighted that 65% prioritize business consulting, while 80% emphasize the need to diversify their solutions offerings to drive growth. In the past year, networking and security were key revenue drivers, but MSPs anticipate growth in data analytics, about 37%, artificial intelligence and machine learning, another 37%, and augmented reality, virtual reality, that's 31%. On the other hand, challenges include talent recruitment, technical education, and adapting to rapid technological changes. Jill Kermes, SYNNEX's corporate vice president, points out that the study's data highlights the contrasting needs and preferences for MSP growth, along with the obstacles they face in achieving said growth. So, Matt, let's just slowly peel this back and peek under the hood. All I hear is evolution, evolution, evolution. And I hear in the background MSPs, the older legacy MSPs, formerly called VARs, no, we don't need to do that. And they are about to get crushed by the wheels of progress. And so this consulting, but when you talk about, you know, virtual reality and augmented reality, that's even stretching past what I can conceive. But maybe there are some MSPs out there, so I'd like to hear from those MSPs if they're using it. But what are your thoughts on this? Is it just progress, progress, progress? That's all we're hearing here?
I think we're hearing progress. I think that a lot of what's touched upon in that article is exactly what we dealt with at the MSP that I worked at before coming to the MSP Media Network. I worked at Valiant Technology, an MSP in Manhattan, for 5 years. And I'm just going to throw it out there. 5 years before that, I was a customer of theirs. So I've got a very good understanding of how they function and how small businesses benefit from their services. And everything that I read there is exactly what they've been doing for years. I'm not your IT guy. I'm not your break fix guy. I'm your technology advisor. I'm going to explain to you how to best utilize technology to get to the goals that you want to achieve. And in the process, I'm going to help identify and mitigate risks along the way to smooth out the road in front of you. That's exactly the way we looked at every single customer at Valiant. It wasn't us just making sure your licenses and your security is good. Those are important, don't get me wrong. But we looked beyond that into line of business applications, how they're working, how they're fitting the goals of your company. Where do you want to be in 5 years from now? And I think it takes a lot more than your standard kind of break fix or VAR related services in order to accommodate a small business in that way. And is it a challenge? Oh yeah, it's a huge challenge. But when it starts rolling and the machine gets moving and you see the benefits that your customers are reaping from your efforts and the appreciation and the growth you receive in exchange, oh, it's well worth it. I'm excited listening to this. I love it. What do you think,
Matt,
Tony?
You're hitting it on the head. Everything you said is absolute gold. It's the North Star for every MSP listening right now with any confusion on what their role and their persona it should be. You, for all intents and purposes, should be two, let's just say three for all kicks and giggles, three types of roles. The first one is, hey, you're currently doing this, but you could be doing that. And they're like, yes. Now, the moment you hear that yes, second role is, I am your Sherpa. I will guide you through this path to get to that. And the third one is, hey, you're actually executing.
you're doing a good job already. You're good.
Because
you're good.
Yeah. Let's be blunt. Most of the MSPs out there, the salespeople, for lack of a better term, they don't need that execution portion. They could actually charge a lot of money for the consulting and only the consulting. Mm-hmm. The last mile, the execution of, the implementation of, even the architecture of, and the maintenance of all of that can be done by someone else. The consulting is a critical component. So I think what I'm hearing is the MSPs are getting out of just the sheer implementation, the license management, more into the consulting, the architecture, and being that Sherpa through that process.
And I'll add in one more thing that I love. You know, we want the small businesses that we service to see us as experts. And sometimes the best way is to let the experts hire other experts in those individual areas where you need the help. That's important.
That's what the MSP is. I mean, the MSP by definition is an extension of an IT department in the absence of an IT department. So, I mean, maybe you got one person who's typically in the smaller business, John's son. And, he doesn't know how to employ. He knows how to do set up Windows. He doesn't know how to actually do a network framework of scalability. So let's hire this maybe a managed service provider that has the talent that outsources and it's predictable. Anyway, we could talk about this all day long.
I'd rather get back to Microsoft. What do you think about that?
You know what? Microsoft has so many awesome things, starting from the very beginning of the show, talking about how their sponsorship and something you were so passionate about. And now they're also doing some cool stuff. Let's talk about it.
Sounds good. My next story, Microsoft unveils Lima via VentureBeat. Microsoft, in collaboration with Peking University and Xi'an Jiaotong University, introduced Lima, a method that improves the problem-solving skills of large language models by letting them learn from their mistakes, just like humans. Learning from mistakes, or Lima, involves training AI models to self-correct, resulting in improved reasoning skills. Researchers applied this approach to math problems using LLMs like Llama 2 and GPT-4. Remarkably, Lima outperformed traditional fine-tuning across various LLMs and math tasks, including specialized LLMs like Wizard Math and MetaMath. This development marks a significant step in AI systems that learn and improve from their mistakes, with potential applications in sectors like healthcare, finance, and autonomous vehicles. And since the research and code are open source, they promote additional exploration and the advancement of more efficient AI systems with human-like learning capabilities. Tony, I gotta tell you, this story is cool. I think that quite often you hear things about systems being built in the image of their creator, and we could look at that from any tier of existence right now. But the idea of AI learning through making mistakes is great. In my head, all I can do is imagine or remember like the first Roomba constantly walking, like driving into the wall until it realized it couldn't go any further and then finally turning back around. And now look at how those devices work. This is a really cool innovation. What do you think about this?
I think this show is a great show because we have a lot of similar backgrounds and then we have different perspectives. So this is where I say, allow me to retort. I think this is hardly a recipe for job security. I think there's some confusion about our relationships with computers. I think computers do what we're told until they're recognizing, hey, that was a mistake. I could do it better. And then, what's that called? Oh yeah, Terminator. That's a so I am, when I read this stuff, I am fascinated. I am terrified. I'm excited. It's such a cocktail of emotions. I was literally just doing business consulting for podiatry. Office owner yesterday, and he was talking about business models, and I said actually just give me your stuff, and then I threw it in ChatGPT and I created a model through some prompting, and he says, this is incredible. I go, yeah, and he goes, ChatGPT did this. I said, yes, and he goes, I got to be honest with you, when I first heard about ChatGPT, I was terrified. I kept thinking Terminator. We kept talking Terminator. This is like and we were laughing so hard, and I said, it has boundaries until it doesn't have boundaries. For example, my exact words. For example, if it makes a mistake, it's like, fast forward 24 hours. If it makes a mistake, it corrects that mistake until it says, hey, I've disassembled this and reassembled this hundreds of times in the last 10 seconds. I've identified the areas of inefficiency. You are an area of inefficiency. Boom.
Bye-bye. Well, Tony. So
that's what goes through my mind. Now let's rewind back 3 minutes to where, Tony, this is so beautiful to me. It's poetic.
Well, I've got some more poetry for you because I got to say, it sounds like you knocked your podiatrist's socks off. So that's a beautiful thing.
That was a good point.
But number two, it's great because that's the great thing about a show like this and similar backgrounds, like opposing views on just reading a topic as simple as this in the paper, because you were thinking Terminator. Do you know what robot I was thinking of? Johnny Five.
I thought we were going to say Roomba. Johnny Five? No. What's Johnny Five?
Short Circuit? The 80s, remember? Yes. In my mind, I'm thinking productivity, excitement. Hey, Johnny Five alive. You're just like, kill all humans, get out of here. Control, alt, delete all y'all real quick, you know? And we don't need that. So I think what we're going to say on this one is we got to see where Lima goes over the next few months.
I just hope they put the framework up. We just heard about the government implementing AI frameworks and foundational, we'll call them starting points for the evolution of AI that has to be adhered by all AI companies moving forward. We know that OpenAI and a variety of other organizations involved, Claude and ChatGPT, et cetera, are adhering to the structure because they see the same thing. Elon Musk just got quoted, was it yesterday, 2 days ago, that one day AI will eliminate the need for any human to do any type of work. Which should terrify you, because not only is that in complete conflict with our entire system of capital.
What do you do with yourself?
Well, yeah, exactly. What is the cost of goods? What is the workload going to be? What is the value from humans? Do we ascend? Do we become energy just suddenly? Because, or
thank
is the
you
opposite
for the
way?
New existential threat, ChatGPT.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And with that.
Notables. It's time for notables. Let's stop this and get to the notables.
Let's go to notables. I'm going to get anxiety again. Hey, let's do it. Jumping straight into my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com. Okta, a cloud identity and access management provider, has notified nearly 5,000 present and past employees, of a third-party data breach. On September 23rd, 2023, a network breach at Rightway Healthcare exposed personal information, including full names, social security numbers, and health insurance details of Okta employees and their dependents. While there's no evidence of misuse, security risks are a concern. Okta is offering affected individuals 2-year credit monitoring, identity theft protection, and fraud prevention via Experian. This incident adds to a series of breaches Okta has experienced, raising questions about the company's security. And in my next notable mention from thehackernews.com, Google has issued a warning about a potential threat involving its Google Calendar service being exploited for command and control infrastructure. The tool, known as Google Calendar RAT, that's GCR for short, leverages Google Calendar events and a Gmail account to establish a covert channel. Although it hasn't been observed in real-world attacks, threat actors have shared proof-of-concept GCR on underground forums. GCR operates on legitimate infrastructure, making it challenging for defenders to detect malicious activity. Google also noted an Iranian nation-state actor using .NET backdoor named BananaMail for Windows, which employed email for C2. In response, Google has disabled the attacker-controlled Gmail accounts used by this malware.
And in my first notable, Hello Kitty ransomware exploiting Apache ActiveMQ flaw. This is coming to us through Cybersecurity News. The recently disclosed Apple ActiveMQ Remote Code Execution, RCE, flaw, CVE-2023-46604, is now actively exploited by threat actors to distribute Hello Kitty ransomware. This vulnerability, rated critical with a CVSS version 3 score of 10.0, allows attackers to execute arbitrary shell commands by manipulating serialized class types in the OpenWire protocol. Affected versions include Apache ActiveMQ 5.18.0 before 5.18.3, among others. Apache has released updates to address this issue, and the organizations are strongly advised to upgrade to secure versions and check for vulnerability signs in their systems. And in my next notable, Discord will switch temporary file links to block malware delivery via Bleeping Computer. Discord is addressing its malware distribution issue by transitioning to temporary file links set to roll out by the end of this year. This change aims to prevent attackers from using Discord's CDN for hosting and distributing malware. Furthermore, by implementing URL parameters to control link expiration, Discord is effectively enhancing its platform's overall security. Discord's response comes after widespread misuse of its platform by cybercriminals and state-backed hackers. Notably, cybersecurity firm Trellix has reported that Discord's CDN URLs were exploited in over 10,000 malware operations, underlining the urgency of these measures. And for this week's resource, Community Fireside Chat, the process part of People, Process, and Technology, coming to you from Huntress. Join Huntress and industry peers on November 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern for the process part of People, Process, and Technology, the next episode in their Community Fireside Chat series. Businesses rely on people, processes, and technology to support their customers, and keeping the process part of that list current can avoid costly missteps and enable positive outcomes. Register today for Huntress's latest fireside chat, Real People, Real Perspectives, Better Conversations. I hope to see you there. More details and a registration link are in the show notes. And we've got some feedback from the community. This time it's coming from Bogdan Okronis via YouTube. Came for the news, stayed for the bloopers. And I think the only thing I could say to that is I'm happy on both accounts. Thank you, and we love having you watch us.
There are plenty of amazing events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Starting on Wednesday, November 8th through the 10th, an in-person event, IT Nation Connect in Orlando, Florida. And also on the 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Cybersecurity Jeopardy presented by Kaseya. And on November 9th, another in-person event, Sophos Cleveland Partner Symposium. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, 38 at 38 was back for episode 18 on Friday, featuring special guest Dexter Williams. And on Wednesday, a new episode of AI Roundup at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And of course, every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
So, how'd you like today's show? You know what we're going to say, right? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you don't, look at this face. Look at that face. Just hit it once for us anyway. Do us a solid. We'd really appreciate it and help us get our message out to more and more people. We also have a podcatcher. You can check out our podcast in many, many different formats. So please do check it out. Now, did you know that we have a Discord where we post stories all week? We've been posting constantly. Last weekend was just a mad show in the place, and it was great. So please, everyone, come on in. Even Rich Banky. I'm going to tell a friend to join our Discord right there. That's what we're going to do, Rich Banky. And also, please be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. You have a question? Email us at news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-Network. Just going to get that up there. 833-MSP-Network. We're here, picking up the phone. Tony, this is a start to a great week. Anytime I can start my week with you, I know it's going to be a good one. I think you should do something nice for me.
What an incredible, I love the show. I love sharing information. This is show number 163. We've got ConnectWise, IT Nation this week. Up until the end of the year is just booked show, back-to-back shows. All of my MSP family are just, they're constantly in contact with me asking about new technology, new security events, and we are all pulling this together. We've got you, Coast, it's just amazing with you. We've got Jason Slagle. We've got, Ray's doing, he's doing
his thing right now. Yeah.
So we have great people running the show. The background, we've got Phil and Simon, we've got all the quiet people, and Says is actually making the information that we put together that we actually share with everyone. The team is incredible, and I could not be happier to be here. So why don't you go ahead and wrap this up, land this plane, Matt.
All right, everyone, please put your trays in your upright position. We are getting out of here. Stay safe and have a good one. We'll see you soon.
See y'all later. Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. I'm sorry, I got to start over. Today's episode. I needed to read that number right there. That's number 4. Okay. All right, yeah, cue it up.
Your microphone sounds good, by the way. Your mic sounds really good.
Everyone loves this thing. As long as it doesn't have a weird discharge thing, it sounds good. I just rub my hand across the USB hub.
Don't ever say that out loud.
I was going to say, phrasing.
And especially with the eyes, as long as I don't rub my hand across it, and then discharge, and yes.
Yeah, I see where you guys are going with that. Thank you very much.
Yes,
all right, you're welcome. You're ready.
Discord's response comes... Wow. Thanks, Danny. Now you're in the bloopers.
For that. Right, what are you talking about?
Nothing. I was just blaming you because I could. You're all good, man.
You know why? I looked down and for some reason I was unmuted, so I guess I made a noise or something.
Oh, no. No, you didn't make a single noise. It was just blame random person.